Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition podcast, sponsored by the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. I'm Brian O'Connor, adjunct professor of entrepreneurship at Chicago Booth, and joining me today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Steve Swinney, CEO of Kodiak Building Partners, and I appreciate you spending some time with us today, Steve.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian. Looking forward to doing this.
Great. Well, you know, I think a great place to start, Steve, would just be by sharing a little bit of your background, maybe telling us a bit about Kodiak Building Partners and how you came to be the CEO of that company, and maybe start as far back as you'd like. I'm sure we'll take great interest in the story.
Sure. Okay. Well, listen, I'm originally from the Chicagoland area, grew up there. So not too far away from you guys. Started out in public accounting with Arthur Andersen back when they were still around. Spent a few years there and went back to graduate school at the University of Texas at Austin to get an MBA in finance. From there, I spent several years really in the larger corporate world, first at Target Corporation and then Clark Retail Enterprises, where I started doing M&A work. And then after that, coming out to Denver, Colorado, which is where we're based now, working for Western Union and First Data Corporation, and then eventually moving over to ProBuild Holdings, which was at the time a very large lumberyard operator in this building product space that Kodiak exists in now. Went through really the whole housing downturn at ProBuild, and so spent several years leading the finance organization there, but going through really the whole housing crisis between 2007 and ultimately leaving there in 2011 to start Kodiak. You know, our entrance into really an entrepreneurial acquisition environment for myself and the team that I started Kodiak with was predicated on a couple of things. Number one, this is something I'd really had a desire, passion, and interest to eventually do was launching something more on my own. And I think, you know, I'd looked at that over many years and never really found the right time and the right circumstances to do it. And as we came out of the housing downturn, my team really just had the opportunity to really take a step back and look at everything that we'd been through for the past several years and really identify 2011 as a real pivotal time for us to build a business in the building product space. Obviously, it was an industry that really every company out there was in a turnaround mode and turnaround situation because the economics and the dynamics of the industry had just gotten turned upside down. And so, you know, we were able to go out and with a little bit of funding, much of it from our founding team, really acquire a very small business that was really struggling and in need of a recapitalization, and then use that as a base to really grow Kodiak.
So can you tell us a little bit, Steve, about that initial point of entry? What drew you to that target specifically? What did you see as the opportunity ahead of that business? And how has that initial acquisition sort of served as the foundation for a number of acquisitions that you've made since?
Sure. So I think to answer that, I think it makes sense to talk about a few of the core dynamics that we've really built Kodiak around. And one of those things was that we really wanted to think very strategically, very long term about, I'd say, being in the right, I'm going to kind of characterize it, being in the right current of a stream, if you will. We look for markets to really grow and be in that we think have very, very good long-term demographic advantages. And so, you know, where you see Kodiak today, our largest states are Colorado, Texas, and Florida. Obviously, all places where, you know, you see strong population growth over a very extended period of time. And what that does for us, we're in a very cyclical industry. No matter what, construction has always been and probably always will be somewhat cyclical. And so we've looked for those demographic markets that help us kind of withstand some of that cyclicality over time and have a natural upward bias over the long haul. So Barton Supply, which was our first acquisition, what we really started the company with, based here in Denver, certainly met that criteria, number one. Number two, helped us from the standpoint of really being right here in our backyard. We were based in Colorado to begin with. And so we met the team at Barton, family-owned business since 1973. And as I mentioned, really, they were in need of some support, some partnership. They'd really ridden out the housing downturn and survived, but had lost about two-thirds of their revenue during that time. And so we were able to come in and really partner with that family with a real shared vision about what kind of business we wanted to rebuild and create together, and launch that. And then from there, we really replicated in a lot of ways that model as we started expanding into other parts of building products as well as other geographies, with really a focus on partnering with strong local leaders, really supporting them in their day-to-day operational needs, and then just partnering together to grow the
business. So you cited one of the main, I would say, challenges or negative attributes that people tend to focus on in this, you know, universe of entrepreneurship through acquisition, which is the existence of cyclicality in a business model. How did you, your investors, and your team get comfortable with that when making your first investment in this space in Barton, in the original platform investment?
Sure. Well, cyclicality is certainly, it's a fundamental of the construction industry. It always has been. We believe it to some extent always will be. And so I talked a little bit earlier about geographic diversity helping us address that. I think the second thing we wanted to do was be very diverse in terms of the types of construction projects that we served. You know, at the end of the day, what our job is to do is get raw materials out to our customers on their job sites. In the case of our predecessor company that we worked for at ProBuild, that customer base was primarily production home builders. So there we were very tied not only to construction in general, but to single family home builders in particular. And so as we launched Kodiak, we wanted to add a component of diversity beyond geography and add that component of serving not just single family home builders on the production side, but also custom builders, multifamily construction, commercial, and even infrastructure. So over the long haul, that was what we wanted to build. What we found in Barton Supply when we launched was something that in kind of a microcosm actually gave us pretty good broad construction mix customer base just in that one company. So Barton specifically is in what we call the construction supplies division of Kodiak. And their customer base primarily is foundation contractors and subcontractors. But they serve really that whole gamut of different construction type projects that I mentioned. And so even as we started out, we really got a lot of that diversity just with that one small company with, you know, $20 million of revenue and 80 employees here in Colorado. And then as we built from there, we continued to scale that diversity in terms of the kinds of projects that we serve around the country today.
Interesting. So it sounds like you've been able to create a bit of a diversification around some of the cyclicality that would otherwise exist on a standalone basis in any of these individual acquisitions that you're making by doing as many of you as you have, which is something I want to kind of talk about next, which is quite interesting. I think that that probably creates a platform then with maybe a bit of insulation, perhaps, around some of the broader cyclicality that might exist in any one of these individual opportunities, and therefore creating a risk mitigated or over time a more valuable platform in an otherwise cyclical space. Very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the M&A activity. I understand that you've made quite a number of acquisitions since the original investment in Barton Supply. Tell us a little bit more about those and give us a little bit of the timeline and the stats, and maybe a little bit about, you know, how meaningful those have been in the overall growth of your platform and what you're building at Kodiak.
Sure. Well, it's as you said, it's definitely been a core component of our growth strategy. We've over the course of the last almost 8 years now since we founded the company, We've acquired right around 21 companies during that time. In the early years, it was kind of one company a year. That pace kind of quickened in 2000 and 2013 and 14. We hit a little bit of a pause in 15 and 16 when we just felt that the market had gotten really overheated. And, you know, we really had to step back and say, are we trying to acquire or are we trying to build a great business? And so we kind of hit a time period where we just didn't see the opportunities to really create value for our shareholders continuing to acquire. So we really focused on operations, which I think was actually very timely for us. We'd grown a lot. We'd gotten up to about $400 million in sales kind of after those first 3 or 4 years. And like I said, the market was overheated, but it actually gave us a good opportunity to look a little bit more internally and really make sure that we were building something that we could sustain from an operating basis. And then as we got into 2017, we saw some market dynamics from an acquisition standpoint change again. We started getting pretty acquisitive again. And then over the last 18 months, we've done 10 of those 21 acquisitions over the last 18 months.
Wow. You've been busy, Steve.
We have been busy. And, you know, but I think the other piece, and as you said, M&A is a really important component of our strategy. But you know, if we don't do anything operationally to add value to those companies, once we acquire them, really, you know, that's not to me a sustainable model either. So we've really focused on our organic growth and our opportunities, whether it's investing in new locations within a certain business, upgrading, you know, the equipment and the productivity that we have there, focusing on business processes, whatever the case may be. That's been a key element of our growth strategy as well. And we've been able to generate really double digit organic growth in our existing companies once we own them really during this time period as well.
Wow. Fantastic. You know, congratulations on all of that growth, both organic and inorganic. Sounds like it's been going extremely well. Now, as the CEO, in a business where clearly there are organic growth opportunities and likely continued opportunity for growth through accretive M&A, where are you allocating your time and attention, and what does that mean for you in your role as the CEO of Kodiak?
Sure. Yeah, it's certainly changed over time, and this is one thing that I think keeps the job really exciting and interesting for me, is that I would say that, you know, really over these 8 years that we've been operating, leading Kodiak, you know, I kind of look back and feel like I've had to completely reinvent my job probably 3 or 4 times, going from, like I said, you know, we started out with a very local business with about 80 employees. Today we're about 75 locations around the country and about 3,000 employees. You know, we've kind of had to just, all of us, our whole leadership team has really had to reinvent themselves and their roles over time. You know, for me today, that means that a lot of my focus is really around, organizational and people development, really investing in our leadership teams across the company, focusing on employee engagement, thinking about our growth strategy through M&A and where we continue to invest capital and allocate capital across the country. And then, you know, just broadly where we think the economy and the market is headed, because certainly, you know, that's always going to have an impact on, you know, our business and everyone else's is really just, you know, heavily impacted, obviously, by where the economy is.
Sure. Let's take a minute to dive a little bit deeper on some of the human capital and people elements. That's obviously, you manage a large organization, and I would love to hear a little bit more about your thoughts. I've read a little bit about your passion for creating and sustaining company culture amid a very acquisitive and rapidly growing organization and changing org chart and P&L and everything else, right? Can you share a little bit more about your approach and your thought process around the culture amid all of these changing dynamics?
Sure. Yeah, I think the first thing I'd say is. You know, again, I keep going back to, you know, when we launched Kodiak, kind of what are some of those key tenets? And we talked about some of the more strategic things around diversity of different types. I think that the third thing that was really critical to us was that our industry, and a lot of industries, is not unique to our industry, but you know, our industry is really heavily populated by smaller, locally owned family businesses. That's been the history of this industry. And what's happened in many cases with companies in our space that consolidated and grew and, you know, grew by acquisition was that over time, a lot of that local entrepreneurial ownership and mindset of the operations was lost, and centralization kind of creeps in, and pretty soon you've kind of lost all that flavor. And for us, you know, we've launched Kodiak really feeling like that's actually the core reason for success in a lot of these businesses was that locally driven entrepreneurial spirit. And so as we launched Kodiak, we really wanted to find a way to certainly grow by acquisition and consolidate, but retain and maintain, you know, the legacy of these local companies. And so we've really tried to embrace that. And it's worked for us. And I think, and candidly, we have kind of this, you know, fairly kind of zealous mission to prove that we can do this, not only when we have a couple of companies and we're growing, you know, like we have been the last several years, but that we can do that and sustain that over the long haul and maintain that local spirit, that local ownership and decision-making in a large, you know, national company, and not just on a local level.
Yeah, I would imagine that so much of your business and the focus on growing in specific MSAs that, as you describe, have sort of the demographic and macroeconomic tailwinds behind them, there is such a local element of your business that revolves around the people and the team. How do you think about that as part of your acquisition thesis, Steve? How do you evaluate existing teams at a would-be target for Kodiak? How do you and your leadership team think about evaluation of talent in each of the local markets with any given target?
Yeah, you know, I would say evaluating the culture and the leadership team at an acquisition target is frankly one of the first, you know, one of the first things we look at and one of the primary things we look at. You know, we spend time with the ownership, we spend time with the leadership to the extent we can. You know, obviously in the diligence process, there's a certain point in time that you've got to get to before you can get access to those folks. But it's kind of one of our number one focuses. We are probably investing much more in the talent there and the belief that we can back them to help them grow to new levels behind that leadership team than we are, you know, really investing in the trucks and forklifts and that sort of thing that are on the ground.
Sure.
So it really, that really does become first and foremost an evaluation that happens in our diligence process.
You go through that diligence effort and you decide to partner up and make that investment. We think a lot about the 100-day plan or the first year on the job as the new CEO or new leader of any particular business. Maybe if you can recall back to the first investment that you made in Barton Supply and what that first 100 days to 1 year looked like, you know, back then, and then maybe any similarities or differences to how you all think about the first 100 days to year after making an investment in a existing business that now becomes part of the Kodiak family?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's changed some. I mean, that first time, you know, any company that we'd acquired in 2011 in this space was really struggling to survive. It wasn't just unique to Barton. You know, that was the industry at that time. And so certainly, you know, while we recapitalized the company, we were not, you know, we didn't come in with really deep pockets. We really scratched together an initial investment to partner with that company. So first 100 days, you know, at Barton back in the middle of 2011 was really number one about, you know, getting to cash flow neutrality first and then getting to a cash flow positive position. a lot of that, you know, was relying on working capital management and just stabilizing the core of the business. I think from there, then the next thing that we were really focused on in our first kind of 100 days and probably extended into really the first year was really about business process development. We came in and actually at our very first employee meeting, you know, basically, you know, told the entire company that, you know, we were going to get out of the mindset of whether we were going to save the company and stay in the business. And we were really going to focus on the fact that we were going to grow this business extensively. And if we were going to grow it extensively, we really had to look at how we did everything and make sure that we created efficiencies so that as we grew, that could be very profitable growth. And so while we were kind of trying to stabilize cash flow, you know, we had teams of people that were sitting down, and it was in the basement. We had a basement conference room there that were literally, you know, mapping out what happens when an order comes in and how it works its way through the system. And what had happened there was during the whole downturn, you know, obviously they shrunk staff a lot, and it kind of became an all hands on deck mentality just to kind of stay alive and service the business. And listen, that was the right thing to do at the time. We wanted to come in now and say, listen, we're going to double in size in the next few years. And as a result, we want to make sure that we get away from all hands on deck and let's just survive. And let's start thinking about the best way to do every aspect of the business. And, you know, today that team, you know, 8 years later, that company's not just doubled in size. It's actually quadrupled in size since 2011.
Wow, fantastic.
And they're able to do it in a much more efficient way than what they were doing before because they took the time. Actually, you know, when things were simpler, we didn't have as much business to worry about back then. And they could really dissect and then start building on how to most effectively, you know, serve each part of the business process, you know, through that whole chain.
Sure. So a focus on process and playbooking so that you are ready when the growth does come. And we're not in a period like we found ourselves in late 2008, 2009. Yeah. Wonderful. What about, you know, those sort of future acquisitions? So I think that was very helpful on Barton Supply. How does the playbook, you know, look maybe a little bit different now on, you know, acquisition number 20, 21, yeah, and going forward, you know, 22 and beyond?
So, you know, I'd say, you know, we most of the time now, we're certainly not as worried about the, you know, stabilizing cash flow. We're buying really solid growth oriented businesses in most cases today. Now that being said, every company, you know, every company's got an opportunity to improve and grow and get better. And so I'd say in each deal we're really looking at with that management team and with our you know, divisional leadership, really developing what are the opportunities in that deal, and really going after expansion and growth opportunities on the top line, looking for strategies to optimize and maximize our margins, thinking about productivity, thinking about our investment in our equipment and our fleet, and if there's needs there. So I think each one looks a little different, but it's really about really analyzing that business, looking at where we're at, where we think we can be. And, you know, and today, since we've got a lot of comparables just within Kodiak, we can, any company we look at, we can say, well, how do they benchmark against the companies in our portfolio that are very similar to them? And one of the big things then that comes out of that is a lot of kind of driving the sharing of best practices across those local businesses to bring ideas. Both, you know, we say to every acquisition that we bring in, look, we fully expect that you are going to come in and help make other companies in our portfolio better with the things that you do that are just, you know, your core competencies. And then, by the way, you know, we certainly expect that out of the 20 or so companies we have, that you're going to take away a few ideas from them that you can apply to your local business as well.
Steve, in 21, have you gotten it wrong?
Absolutely.
I figured I knew the answer to that question, and I'm curious to hear, you know, what did that look like? Both, you know, what might you have missed going in, and what did it look like, and what was the you know, what did the damage control effort look like after the fact?
Sure. I mean, I will say, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate that the vast majority of those 21 today are very successful, you know, deals. We do a postmortem on our deals periodically and just look at how they've compared to what we expected to happen. And we have been very fortunate that we have an incredibly talented operating leaders across the company. And so in the vast majority of cases, we've been very happy. But I'll tell you the one, and I won't tell you by name, but I'll tell you the one that was really the biggest misstep I think we made from an acquisition standpoint. And it really does go back to that culture question. One of our fairly early acquisitions, we really didn't pay attention at all to culture in that company. We saw a really good value deal, and we said, oh, well, you know, all we got to do is go in and do this, this, and this, and boom, we've got a really great business. And we didn't pay it at all any attention to the leadership team and whether or not we had good alignment with the way we wanted to each operate and grow a business. And so what happened was, you know, the papers get signed, money changes hands, they're now part of Kodiak, and we sit down and start talking about strategically where we want to take the business. And we found very quickly that there was absolutely zero alignment between myself and that local leader on what we wanted to try to accomplish and how, what we could and couldn't do. And so, you know, candidly, we spent a year just battling that. And we were fortunate enough about a year later to acquire another business in that same market. Really, you ended up merging those two together, had obviously some leadership changes. And really, that was really what saved us, was that follow-on acquisition. But, you know, it really did. That was one of the things that really just reminded us and underscored in everything we did going forward, the importance of culture and strategic alignment in terms of ourselves at the Kodiak corporate office, as well as these local leaders and what we're all trying to accomplish together and why we're getting together. So that was a big learning for us.
Steve, it's clear that you spend so much of your time as CEO of Kodiak thinking about your people and culture. How would you, you know, where you are after making all these acquisitions and creating the platform that you have, how would you describe your culture? What does it feel like to be a member of the Kodiak team?
Yeah, I mean, what we strive for is a very decentralized, locally driven entrepreneurial business. At the end of the day, those are the words that I throw out. We want, while we're acquiring all these independently owned businesses, they're becoming part of Kodiak. We want as much as we can to continue to think and operate that way at every level of the business. That's the core for us. We maintain that in terms of how we try to operate. We really push decision making down as close to the customer as possible. We also really encourage as broad an ownership base as we can within our employee base. So today our folks that are working in the business day to day own about 20-25% of the company. So that obviously stimulates a lot of that entrepreneurial spirit because we maintain ownership at a broad level. And then the last piece is we really want people supporting and working with each other across all of Kodiak. And so while we operate very locally, all of our ownership is at the overall, about the kind of the top Kodiak level. And so even if you're that local owner, local operator in Orlando, Florida, or Victoria, Texas, if you're an owner in Kodiak, you know, you don't just want your local business to do well. You want the guys in Boston and Denver, and Washington State all to do well as well, because that you're an owner in that business. So that, sure, that's really what we've focused on as a company.
So Steve, I understand that you use an internal app and maybe social media to a certain extent to build unity and camaraderie among your team. Can you share a little bit about, maybe share some of the details on what you've done and how you do that, maybe the impact that that's had on your growing organization?
Sure. Yeah. And the app is something that's actually really brand new. We've been in kind of a test mode. We're actually kind of going live with that. But things like that, and I'll mention one other, it kind of comes back to that evolution of the company. You know, how do we maintain the that small and kind of almost family feel that we were, that's very easy to have when you're 80 employees all in the same building. And how do you maintain that as you grow? I think for us, what that's meant is finding different ways to do the things that naturally happen in that small local business. And so, you know, employee engagement and the app and communications, those were all ideas that were born out of things that just naturally occurred when we were all sitting out at Barton Supply 8 years ago. You know, when I'd be in the office every day, I could literally walk around the office and out into the yard for an hour. I could talk to half our employees, you know, just see how they were doing. And you could get a feel from that in terms of, you know, how's everyone feeling in the company? Are they engaged? Are they nervous? Are they down? You know, you get that natural feel because you're just having that daily dialogue. As we grew, you can't do that the same. We're in 12 different states today. You can't do that naturally in that way. And so we wanted to find ways that we could replicate that. And so number one, we started last year doing an employee engagement survey, which I found to be incredibly beneficial for us, because all of a sudden we were able to take that walk around the yard and kind of systematize it and put it in a way where we got feedback from about 1,500 employees last summer in terms of how engaged are they in the business. Do they understand where the company's going? Do they know how what it means for them to succeed in the company? Do they know where their future opportunities exist and what their career path is? We got all that out of an employee engagement survey that really just gave us as leaders a really powerful way to continue to engage our workforce, to improve the environment that they're operating in. And at the end of the day, you can see studies all over the place that'll tell you how much more profitable and growth-oriented companies are when their employees are engaged. The app that you mentioned kind of came out of a similar evolution. You know, again, back when we were all in one building, we could have an employee meeting. We could post, you know, a flyer, you know, on a couple of doors and get the word out on things. For us, you know, our employee base, we're not all on company email. In fact, probably only about 40 or 50% of our employees have a company email, because we got drivers and yard workers and all kinds of things going on that folks aren't really sitting at a computer. So we didn't have a way to communicate with all of our employees. One of our team said one day, well, geez, almost everyone's got a smartphone. And so we had our IT team create an app that literally it's linked into our payroll system. So when you start your first day at any Kodiak company, you now, your cell phone number is in the payroll system. That first night, you can download the app. And then we can use that as a tool to push information out to literally our entire employee base. And then we can also, future versions of it will also kind of drill down into different segments of the company and even local operating companies to tailor messages to those specific groups. And it's really just a tool then to really keep people in the know of what's going on. And when they know what's going on, again, that drives back to engaging them into the overall vision and success of Kodiak.
Interesting. And if we could for a second go back to the employee engagement work, any meaningful discoveries or learnings that came from that work? Anything that you sort of said, boy, we think we have an organization that, you know, really values this or really enjoys this or is dissatisfied with this, but boy, this finding actually is a big surprise, and what are we going to do about that? Any sort of learnings or findings from any of this employee engagement work that I absolutely applaud you for embarking on?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot. I will tell you, we were able to dissect it by company, by operating company. So I would tell you, in some ways, we had 20 different plans that came out of that. You know, because what was an issue at one was usually not an issue at another necessarily. But a few things that come to mind that were really eye opening for me was that, you know, even here at our corporate office, and we have a very small corporate office in the grand scheme of things. We've got about 35 employees here. You know, supporting almost 3,000 out in the field. But, you know, one specific thing that came out that just shocked me was, you know, and I think this is something for all of us as leaders that we got to continue to be reminded of. You know, we kind of have this tendency to, because we're right in the middle of everything, we think everyone knows, you know, A, B, and C. They know all these things because we know them. And what I found was one learning I had was that even here at our corporate office, where in the grand scheme of things, it's a small team, we weren't necessarily communicating enough to them. And so I just kind of assumed that they knew, you know, all these different things. And people were telling us, look, you know, we want to know more what's going on. We don't really know. Just because we're here in the building doesn't mean we know, you know, that this is happening and that's happening and that this is important. So that was one. And I think the second one that was really striking to me is that while we operate these very locally driven businesses, one of the things that became very apparent to us was how motivating and exciting and a situation it was for our local employees to know that they're part of something bigger, you know, across Kodiak and across the country. And one way that came out was we heard really almost across the board from our local operating companies that, hey, they wanted to know not just, you know, they know what opportunities there are for career development and progression at their local business, but people said, hey, you know, is there a Kodiak job board somewhere? What if, you know, what if I'd be open to an opportunity out in Denver and I'm in, you know, Boston? How do I find out about that? And so, you know, that's something that our HR team is under development with now. And I think, again, I think it just, you know, it just opens up possibilities for people. And I think when people feel like there's opportunity for growth, there's opportunity for advancement, there's, you know, there's opportunity to grow as a person, that's a very engaging thing that motivates you to want to get up and get going after things every day. And so those were a couple things, but I'll tell you, each of our teams locally are working on plans for how to address things they learned out of that engagement survey. And it's something that we'll do now basically every 12 to 18 months going forward as a company because of how valuable that was for us.
Steve, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I mean, we can all learn from opening up a leader like you and the organization that you run, opening up those lines of communication and getting closer to the team. And it sounds like you're learning things and incorporating them into the way that you lead and work with your team. I think that's fantastic. The last question I have for you, and I want to, you're running a large organization. You've got a lot of responsibility. So I don't want to overstay my welcome on the conversation here, but the last thing I'd just be curious about is what's ahead for you, for Kodiak, maybe an opportunity that you see or maybe a threat. Maybe both sides of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think for us, we're still, you know, at the end of the day, we look at ourselves as a very young company. I mean, we are about to, you know, next month we'll celebrate our 8th anniversary. We definitely are really proud of what the team's accomplished, but very enthusiastic about really kind of continuing to push forward and be aggressive and keep growing. So I think, you know, first and foremost, we'll continue to grow both organically and through acquisition. We feel like we're just getting started as a team on that front. I think I'll take the downside first, I guess, from a risk, you know, and risk perspective. Certainly we've been in a pretty long economic expansion, and you know, specifically the construction industry has had a lot of recovery from the downturn in the 2000s. So we're really cautious right now on watching where the overall economy and construction cycle is going. I think it's certainly the next few years at a minimum are going to be probably much less robust than maybe the last several have been. And so for us as a leadership team, you know, we're really thinking about what does success look like in a very low growth or maybe a little bit of a correction cycle versus, you know, when the economy and the market is growing and you're just trying to keep up and grow and serve that market that's growing. So that's kind of the risk for us, is really kind of making that transition from high growth organically to maybe lower growth or maybe no growth for a couple of years. We're not sure. But really, really making sure that we're highly successful in any phase of an economic cycle. But I think from an opportunity perspective, you know, again, we've had a lot of things go right. We've been talking about those. Of course, in a call like this, you always highlight all the successes. But you know, the question about acquisitions, I mean, you know, we've made a tremendous amount of mistakes and a lot of things that we can get a lot better at as a company. And so I think the opportunity for us is just to continue to mature as an organization, to continue to really leverage all the great things that come from really empowering employees and giving them the reins to make decisions. I think you know that we have not yet maximized that opportunity for the talent and the industriousness and the desire of our local folks on the ground to really drive the business forward. And so as we continue to grow through acquisition, continue to grow organically, really learning from, you know, these highly talented and ambitious and hardworking people that, that work for us across, across Kodiak.
Well, Steve, it sounds like you've, in the first 8 years, you've done a fantastic job, you know, growing and listening to your people and working alongside them and incorporating feedback. And so it sounds like you're certainly on the right track to continue along your trajectory here. So I applaud you for all that you've built, and it's a very exciting story. I appreciate you sharing it with us. And on behalf of the University of Chicago Booth School of Business and the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship and all of our listeners, I thank you for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you guys. It's been great great talking to you, and appreciate having the chance to share about what we're doing here at Kodiak.
Well, thank you again, Steve.